Started. There we go. I'm going to be speaking today about guilt, shame, and grace. Today's sermon, I want to make a request. I would like for everyone to check what I am saying today to see if I'm missing something from the scriptures that might say something differently. I'm serious about this. I would really like to hear other people's perspectives, and maybe there's something from the scriptures that I've overlooked. Because this seems pretty powerful to me, what I'm about to talk about. First question I have is, are Christians judgy? Judgy. I'd never heard that word before until the last few years. But now it seems like it's everywhere. Oh, don't be judgy. Don't look at me like that judgy face. Judgy. I guess when I hear that word, I'm thinking that people are experiencing somebody as wanting to make them feel guilty. Guilt. In the scriptures, the word guilt isn't there a whole lot, but there is the word krino, which is translated judge or condemn. And so that word, I think, has two aspects to it. And I think the English word guilt has these same two sides to it. First of all, there is forensic guilt. In other words, you go before a court, am I right, Brian? And the judge decides whether this person is guilty or not, and then assigns the appropriate punishment for that person. It's a forensic sort of exchange. Who's at fault? Who did what wrong? And what's the punishment that's appropriate? That's a forensic aspect of guilt. And that, by the way, is found as a meaning for the word krino throughout the New Testament. I don't know Hebrew that well, so I haven't looked at what the Old Testament, how that might show that. But there's another aspect, and this is emotional guilt. And emotional guilt is really the feelings that we get when we feel like we deserve the consequences of some sort of forensic encounter. We've done something wrong, and we know that probably there are some kind of consequences that I probably should get. And so we don't like that feeling. And I think this is what a lot of people talk about when they're saying, don't be judgy. Don't be trying to make me feel that feeling, like I'm doing something wrong, that I'm therefore not as, I'm sort of emotionally worn down from you. The question I have that I'm trying to explore today in this sermon is it ever a good thing for us to feel emotional guilt? Is it ever a good thing for us to feel emotional guilt? Well, first of all, I want to kind of rely on my education at SU as a mental health counselor. I took a class in lifespan development. And one of the ways that human beings grow and develop is morally. There's a moral growth that people go through. And sometimes there are people get stunted along that way in various ways. When there are some problems with a person's development, they can have an absence of this feeling of emotional guilt. In other words, they can do things and don't feel bad at all about what they've done that everybody else says, "What on earth? That's terrible. That's cruel. That's you're hurting people." That is one can be described as an antisocial personality disorder. There are people who don't feel their primary motivation in interacting with others really has nothing to do with whether or not what I'm doing may be wrong, but it's more, what can I get out of it? Can I get away with what I'm thinking about? What do I have to do to get what I want, and can I get away with it? There are some people who, and one of the aspects of a lot of people with this disorder, they can be very charming. Very charming. And a lot of people, when they hear that this person did this X, Y, Z, they go, "What? Man, that person seems like the nicest person in the world." But what's missing is this feeling of guilt for what I may be doing that may be hurting somebody. When they charm others, it's really a way of getting what I want from you. It's a form of manipulation. And I can take things from you, I can do things to you if it benefits me, and I won't feel a shred of guilt about it. So that is what happens when a person doesn't have the capacity to feel guilt, emotional guilt. If you take that feeling of guilt away, what kind of people do you end up with? I can do whatever I want and I don't feel bad about it. That seems like a very bad thing, doesn't it? Another aspect of the role of this feeling of guilt is it provides feedback to us on how we may be impacting others. If I'm doing something and there's a little piece of my brain going, "Ooh, that's probably not the nicest thing to do, Fred," I can listen to that and go, let me think about that. Wow, maybe it's true. Maybe what I did is not really reacting in the most loving way to this person. It can give us feedback on how our actions impact others. Another thing that occurs to me is that the feeling of guilt is a natural consequence of a good thing, altruism. Altruism or empathy is the ability to feel what other people are feeling. Altruism is acting in the other person's best interests, whether or not it benefits me at all. I'm just doing something to help this person. And empathy means I'm able to really put myself in that other person's shoes and see how they feel. That's a good thing. The downside of that is if I've done something that hurts them, I'm going to feel pain too. This feeling of guilt is a natural consequence of a good thing, which is our ability to relate to other people and how our actions are impacting them. That's a very good thing. When we obey what Jesus called the greatest commandment, when we love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to feel guilt. Because when we look at our actions, we will see how it impacts other people. We'll see how it impacts God. And guilt is going to be, emotional guilt is going to be the natural consequence of that. This is an essential part of moral development. It's something for us to be functioning, mature human beings. We need to have this capacity. It's a good thing. Shame is another word that the way it kind of makes sense to me, and I heard this given as a definition one time that really clarifies things for me. Guilt is a feeling we get about something we've done. And shame is the feeling we get when we realize I'm the kind of person who does that. Shame is about me as a person. So shame goes a level deeper. We look at ourselves and go, oh man, I'm the kind of person who does that sort of thing. And we feel badly about that. We feel shame when we realize it is our nature to sin. When we realize it is our nature to hurt other people. When we realize that on a really deep level, shame is the natural consequence. I think it, one thing that illustrates this is a passage from Romans chapter 7. The context of this whole chapter is Paul is saying, even though I want to do good, I end up doing bad. I end up doing wrong, doing evil. Verse 21, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. That verse right there seems to me an expression of shame. I'm the kind of person who does this. Even though I want to do good, I still do sin. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And Romans 8 has the answer. Now, the only way we can face the reality about our sinfulness and the fact, not only the fact that we have sinned, but we're the kind of people who sin. We are, not only have I hurt people, but I am the kind of person who hurts people. The only way to avoid feeling badly about that is to convince ourselves that we're really not that bad. We're really not bad, because if we face that, it would hurt deeply. So the way we convince ourselves that we're really not that bad is that we calibrate our standards by comparing ourselves to those around us rather than to God's standards. We move the goalposts. If the goalposts are so far, so hard that we know we can't reach it, then guess what? Well, I'll feel better about myself. Let's make this the goal. You know, everybody around me does what I did, and, you know, they're all right. So therefore, I am really not that bad. It's those people over there. I mean, they're really. So I can feel good about myself because I compare myself with other human beings. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 kind of describes this. We dare not classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. In other words, there's other people around me that I can see that do basically the same thing, and they tell themselves, hey, there's no big deal. I guess in English nowadays, we use the phrase, nobody's perfect. What do people mean when they say that? Yeah, I did what's wrong, but what's the deal? I'm a good person. Everyone's a good, I mean, ignore that. That doesn't matter. We compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not wise. Paul is basically saying that's not a wise course of action. We should compare ourselves with God's standards. That's the reality. That's where truth, righteousness is. But it hurts. So this is how we escape that pain. We compare ourselves with ourselves. Guilt, emotional guilt I'm talking about, under the law. What is the role of guilt under the law, meaning God's law? And, you know, God gave the law of Moses to Moses on Mount Sinai, and he said, this is what God expects. This is how we're supposed to live. And here are the rewards for doing this. And here are the punishments if you don't. Choose. What do you want to do? This or that? Romans chapter 1 kind of broadens that a little bit and says even people who didn't get the law of Moses, they still have the law of God. God has revealed himself even if they didn't have the law of Moses. We know what God, just as human beings, you go to any culture in the world and they'll have a sense of some things are just wrong. And some things are just right. Guilt. When we do something wrong and we feel this emotional pang, it is one of the punishments that we experience when we break the law. It's the emotional part of things. There's the forensic part. God says, do this, and this is what's going to happen. This is the emotional part of the equation. When I do this, I know I should be getting XYZ, and oh man, I'm feeling but the emotional consequence. We may feel that whether or not we get the forensic consequence. One of my most vivid memories as a child was one time when, for some reason, I was in a store by myself. I must have been about 9 or 10. I don't know how that happened, but what I do remember is this. Walked into the store, and I saw some chewing gum in a showcase rack. I looked around. I took it and I walked out. Was never caught, never told anyone, but I feel bad about it. I felt bad about it. I knew. I looked at myself and go, "You're just a criminal. You're a common criminal." And the older I get, the more I realize that poor shop owner was just a poor guy trying to make a living, and I was robbing his only source of income. I felt terrible about it. Never suffered a single forensic consequence of that, but I sure felt the emotional consequence. Guilt serves as an emotional consequence for breaking the law. Fear of guilt, fear of feeling that, gives us motivation to obey the law. Man, I know if I do X, Y, Z, I'm gonna feel terrible about it, so I won't do it. So it can give us motivation for obeying the law. And because we know that about people, we try to make them feel that guilt so that they will obey the laws that benefit us, of course. In other words, man, you shouldn't be doing that. You know that every time you do that, it hurts me like this? Oh. You know, I work so hard in this church, and nobody is here to help me. Don't you feel bad about that? It's a go-to mechanism that we can use to motivate people to do what they should be doing, what is right for them to do. That is what happens under a system of law, whether it's the Mosaic law or just the law of God in general. Guilt under grace. When we are not operating, when we're not relating to God under the basis of law, by the way, what's the system of law? Do what's wrong, you get the punishment. And what's the other part of it? Oh, the other part of the law is do what's right and get rewarded. Boy, we want that part. The system of grace is do what's right and you get punished. Do what's wrong and you get the reward. So the appropriate guilt under the system of grace is the appropriate response to our righteousness. When we are relating to God on the basis of grace and we see our own righteousness, the appropriate response is guilt, emotional feeling of guilt. And I think this is what's happening in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, which says, "Now, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." By the way, what happens right before this, Paul was saying, if anyone has reason to boast, I have more. Were you a good Bible student? I was better than you. Were you committed highly to do what God said? I was a Pharisee. You can't be more committed than that. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And that was a good thing. He was working as hard as he knew how to do what was right. Under the law, blameless, I think he even said. So that's what he said right before this. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. That word loss there is kind of a tamed down word from the original. One way to accurately translate that word would be excrement. In fact, I remember being in a sermon one time where the guy preaching said, translated that word into the common vernacular from the pulpit. And he said, I'll bet you none of you will remember what this sermon is about, but you'll remember I said that. And he's right. I don't know what his sermon was about. And I still don't feel comfortable enough actually translating that word. But Paul said, I consider all of my righteousness excrement for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I think that's really the word right there. I was speaking a little bit too early, I think. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness that comes from God. He was feeling guilt about his own righteousness, I would propose, is what is happening there. That is the appropriate response under the system of grace. Feelings of guilt under the system of grace are completely superseded by gratitude regarding our sin. We usually feel guilt about what we've done wrong. That's what we feel guilty about. Under the system of grace, when we look at our sin, we don't feel guilt nearly as much as we feel gratitude. Why? Because those who do what's wrong get the reward. Our sin is what qualifies us for the grace of God. Our sin qualifies us for the grace of God. You know, I'm reminded of several of Jesus' parables where the point he was making seemed to be, it's those who are lost that God celebrates over. The 99 who never left the fold, he didn't celebrate them. The elder brother who didn't ask for the inheritance earlier, he didn't get the fatted calf. It is those who sin that God celebrates under the system of grace. Shame is turned into an awareness of a special privileged relationship with God. When we look at who I am, and I'm the kind of person who keeps doing wrong, instead of feeling shame, I am more aware of the fact, I'm the kind of person Christ came to die for. Jesus said, you know, he didn't come to save the righteous. So whenever I see myself and I realize I'm a sinner, guess what category I'm in? I'm the kind of person Jesus came for. I'm a special, privileged person. Is there any place for guilt or shame under grace? I would propose no. There is no place for guilt or shame under a system of grace. Well, I take that back, except for our own righteousness. We can feel guilty about exposing our own righteousness, relying on our own righteousness, looking at ourselves as being better than other people. Yeah, we can feel guilt about that. And that is appropriate. That is what Paul did. But when we see ourselves as what we really are, a person still in the need of the grace of God, we feel special. We feel privileged. We don't feel guilt. I don't know how many or if there's anybody here this morning who has not yet made the decision to rely on God's grace rather than relying on how good we are. I hope that everyone has made the decision like I have to rely instead on the grace of God rather than my own righteousness. Because that's the important stuff, is where I'm wrong. The important stuff is where I'm sinning. That's what really matters. That's what qualifies me for God's grace. That's what qualifies me for being the person that Jesus came here for. I use it as feedback when other people feel in their interactions with me that they're being judged. What I have come to learn about myself, I don't know if this is true of everybody else, when people feel judged, many times it's because I was trying to get them to see something that I think they needed to change about themselves. I used to think this is what evangelism was. To tell someone the gospel meant, first of all, they got to see themselves as sinners. And if I'm talking to them and they don't feel bad about themselves, well, guess what? It's my job to point out how badly they really do need Jesus. And for some reason they felt judged. I used to think that's what evangelism was. But you know, that's the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit already is telling people where they are wrong. And they're just doing their best to survive anyway. And they're doing their best to tell me they're really pretty good people, while inside themselves they know they're hurting because they know they don't measure up to what they need to. I don't need to point that out to them. I need to join with them there. Because guess what? That's the same as it is with me. I'm in need of grace of God. They're in need of the grace of God. Maybe I have something I can share with them. Because we both need the grace of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that as we go about our lives in this coming week, Lord, that we would be an avenue for the gospel, the good news. The good news is that Jesus loves people just the way they are and is looking for excuses to show grace to them. Lord, may I be an avenue where that is the message I give to them. That their sin is actually an opportunity for Christ to show his grace as he shows it constantly to me. Father, may that occur as we go about our lives in this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray.